The great revelations of my adult life began with the shouts of a lost soul in my neighborhood breakfast joint. I was standing in line at the corner bakery on State and Cedar, half a block down the street from my pretty brick townhouse, waiting to order a Swiss oatmeal, muesli, or a berry parfait, granola. Anyhow, something modest. The loudest noises in the place were the tapping of laptop keys and the rustle of someone turning newspaper pages. Abruptly, with a manic indignation that seemed to come from nowhere, the man at the head of the line started uttering the word obstreperous. He started out at a level just above ordinary conversation. By the time he found his rhythm, he was about twice that volume and getting louder as he rolled along. If you had to settle on one word to yell over and over in public, wouldn't you pick something less cumbersome? Yet he kept at it, spinning those four lumpy syllables every possible way, as if trying them on for size. His motive, for nothing actually comes from nowhere, soon became obvious. Obstreperous? 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 Lady, you think I'm obstreperous now? This is what he was saying. Give me another 30 seconds. You'll learn all about obstreperous. With each repetition, his question grew more heated. The momentarily dumbfounded young woman at the order counter had offended him. He wished her to know how greatly. The guy also thought he was making himself look smart, even witty. But to everyone else in the shop, he had uncorked raving lunacy. His variations were becoming more imaginative. Obstreperous? Obstreperous? Obstreporous? To inspect this dude, I tilted sideways and looked down the good-sized line. I almost wished I hadn't. Right away, it was obvious that the guy was not simply playing around. The next man in line was giving him 6 feet of empty floor space. Under the best of circumstances, people were going to keep their distance from this character. 8 or 9 inches of white-gray hair surged out in stiff waves around his head. He was wearing a torn, slept-in, checked suit that might have been ripped off a cornfield scarecrow. Through a latticework of scabs, smears, and bruises, his swollen feet shone a glaring, bloodless white. Like me, he had papers under his elbow, but the wad of newsprint he was clamping to his side appeared to have lasted him at least 4 or 5 days. The puffed-up bare feet, scuffed and abraded like shoes, were the worst part. "Sir," said the woman at the order counter, "sir, you need to leave my store. Step away from the counter, sir, please. You need to step away." 2 huge kids in Southern Illinois sweatshirts, recent graduates by the look of them, jammed their chairs back and marched straight toward the action. This is Chicago, after all, where big, athletic-looking dudes sprout out of the sidewalks like dandelions on a suburban lawn. Without speaking to anyone, they came up on the homeless guy's flanks, hoisted him by his elbows, and transported him outside. If he had gone limp, they would have had a little trouble. But he was rigid with panic and gave them no more difficulty than would a cigar store Indian. He went stiff as a marble statue. When he went by, I took in his blubbery lips and brown, broken teeth. His bloodshot eyes had a glazed look. The man kept saying, "Obstreperous, obstreperous, obstreperous," but the word had become meaningless to him. He was using it for protection, like a totem, and he thought as long as he kept saying it, he was out of danger. When I looked into those flat, unseeing eyes, an utterly unforeseen thought jolted me. The impact felt like a blow, and brought with it a cryptic sense of illumination as brief as the flaring of a match. I knew someone like that. This terrified man with a one-word vocabulary reminded me so vividly of someone that he might have been that person, now in the act of being ejected onto Rush Street. But who in the world could it have been? No one I knew was anything like that damaged character, now staggering forward and back on the sidewalk beyond the great windows, still whispering his totemic word. A voice only I could hear said, "No one? Think again, Lee." Deep in my chest, something big and decisive, something I had been ignoring and thrusting out of view literally for decades, stirred in its sleep and twitched its leathery wings. Whatever had nearly awakened tasted, in part, like shame. But shame was by no means all of it.